Stargazers, I hope you like the theme song with me trying to sing the chords, the main chords for the theme song. Definitely give me a comment. Shoot me a comment as to how you feel about that. But I am actually meeting with you today because I had forgotten when I started with ABC that Pisceans, you guys have your time coming. That's right. It's that time again. It is the chart of the moment, Pisces edition. However, if you are loving the ABC episodes and the part one, part two, or you liked part one, definitely stay tuned. Later within this week, I'll be dropping part two. I think you'll kind of enjoy it. It'll be the two other band members, which are Mark White and Steven Singleton, basically the guitarist and the sax player of ABC. So definitely stay tuned for that. I'll be dropping that within the week. But for today, I just felt like, you know, we've been in Pisces for at least like 2 weeks. So it's good to do the chart of the moment. So again, the chart of the moment for those of you who are just listening, by the way, welcome. But for those of you who are just listening, it's basically an episode where I basically take a look at the chart in the moment, like the planets where they're positioned currently. And, you know, just kind of discern of any relationship themes that might be coming up, along with just some general electional astrology. But I mainly make sure the electional astrology centers around relationships. Every now and then I'll go a little far off and try to encompass like what I might, you know, see in upcoming months away from relationships, but mainly, you know, we're just discerning what's really in relationships right now, what to see when we're relating with coworkers, with friends, with lovers, you know, relationships, the full gamut, even when we're relating with family, full relationships, the gamut. So without further ado, I'm just going to go ahead and jump in. I do have to say this is a spontaneous episode. I haven't rehearsed this. So, definitely I'm just kind of letting, you know, kind of being Piscean today and just kind of letting things just flow, as they shall. So the first thing that I am noticing with the chart of the moment is that, we not only have our sun in Pisces, we also have Saturn. Actually, Saturn is conjunct the sun in Pisces. But we also have Mercury conjunct Neptune in Pisces, and they're all just sitting in that one house. The other thing that I noticed is that we're also a little heavy with Aquarius again. So Mars and Venus are conjunct again, like they were last month, except they're in the sign of Aquarius, and they also team up with Pluto in Aquarius. Pluto just entered Aquarius just last month. So we have some heavy Aquarian energy as well, too. So this is going to be an interesting month because we have two different signs that are technically semi-squared each other. So we're going to have some two combative, I don't want to say combative, but kind of contradictory themes with one another within this month. I think the first with the sun being in Pisces, what to expect. So Pisceans usually are kind of like the hopeless romantics of the zodiac when it comes to relationships. They really love to go all out. They love to express, if they are in love, they love to express their emotions on their sleeve. They're big on the flowers. They're big on love poetry. Actually, Cedar Moon, who is the host of The Witch's Haunt, she has her moon in Pisces, and she's mentioned that, you know, when she falls in love, she not only falls hard, but one of the things that she likes to do is compose love poems, which I think is, that's actually quite cool. I think love poems can be really well inspired, along with, you know, reality sort of poems too, like poetry slams for me can also, you know, be very inspiring, but, and definitely with love. I mean, it inspires you to go the full gamut. And for Pisces, that's definitely true, where they are, you know, into the love poems. They're into all displays of romantic love as much as possible. One counter active point I do have to say about Pisces, I have heard from like Linda Goodman, Liz Green, even Suzanne White, who actually has a book that actually dives into the Chinese astrological signs as well as the Western astrological signs. She's mentioned that sometimes, actually all three have mentioned that Pisceans are big about playing the field. You know, they're not really big about just like, you know, they're not like Taurians where they just settle in, you know, and it's like they meet you and they want to get married immediately. With Pisceans, normally they're kind of, they like to meet you, they like to fall in love, but they like to take their time before they settle in and kind of see how things go. I think that's kind of overall how they kind of view life. It's just like kind of take their time with what's going on with life and seeing like what actually works as opposed to what actually doesn't. And kind of make a decision in the far off future is really what I kind of see. And with the heavy Piscean energy, you know, not only with the sun, pardon me, by the way, not only with the sun being in Pisces, but also, you know, having that heavily Piscean energy, I think that we're going to be seeing a lot of people where, you know, no matter what the relationship is, whether it's a romantic relationship or I've kind of seen this at work just now where I actually have a coworker who is far more, you know, open with her emotions. And this is a side that I really haven't seen of her in quite some time. She's not a Piscean. She's actually Aries, but you know, she kind of keeps her emotions under wraps most of the time. It's within this last month that I've actually seen her really come out and express what's really on her mind and really wanting to discuss some heavy issues that are occurring within her life. I have also seen this with my former boss where it's like he's just being very open, very honest with whatever's on his mind at this point. Not in the better degree, just kind of in general. But I think with relationships on a whole, we're going to be seeing a lot more of either the lovey-dovey or kind of like hearts and flowers sort of relationship, or just people wanting to be far more honest when in a romantic relationship. And also, you know, just really being kind of close to their heart, wearing it on their sleeve, again, being as romantic as possible, letting life just kind of flow, letting the relationship flow to wherever it needs to go. I also see with Pisces, I always link Pisces with the intuitive or the psychic. Now, this is one aspect I've been feeling pretty heavily since the beginning of Aquarius. And I kind of wonder if Aquarius also has this in common with Pisces. But I've been developing my intuition in order to listen to it a bit better and also hone in some of my psychic senses. So kind of my clairaudience and clairvoyance a little bit better so that I can really discern, like if I get a flash of an image, for instance, like I did a couple days ago, if that flash or that image is negative, which some of the time it is, try to decipher how that is not personal to me. And also maybe decipher like what actually is going on outside of me. 9 times out of 10, like I've noticed with the clairvoyance, sometimes the aura outside is not really lining up with the aura as it should be. You know, it might be like darker colors is what I've started to notice. Sometimes when there's just not a right vibe about things, it's like a darker color out, you know, out in the open. Whereas with things are working far more harmoniously, there's lighter colors. Also with listening to the higher self and also the higher spheres, you know, if I hear something and then I listen to the higher spheres, 9 times out of 10, if something's actually going on, the higher spheres will kind of clarify on that one. Or if there's nothing really going on, it's just kind of a miss, you know, wave sometimes. And that sometimes that does also happen. They won't have anything to say. 9 times out of 10, if there's nothing to say, they really don't say anything. So those are just things that I've kind of been going through. But I think really the heavy intuition, heavy psychic ability is really also part of Pisces. And like I said, I kind of wonder if it's the same with Aquarius. But right now we're seeing a very intuitive vibe within relationships. Maybe following the heart, not just in love, but also just like say that somebody is in a decision about somebody, like they've gone on a blind date. That person might be far more inclined to using their intuition or their psychic sense to kind of feel as to what's really going on. And, you know, kind of make may have that be as equally important as a rational decision in the relationship. I'm also seeing a lot of intuition just playing out like in the workplace, you know, like somebody, a coworker might feel out a particular position that they're thinking of and, you know, feel that out until they actually have a final decision. As to whether or not they want to make that move in the workplace. They might do that with tasks as well too, or we all may be doing that with tasks. Kind of, you know, feeling it out, seeing what might happen or seeing like if it's really something that we can do or if we need extra help when it comes to that particular task. Extra help could be like clarifying certain things that maybe you weren't trained on originally, or just clarifying on what A, B, C, and D means. I know I've been going through that at work currently, or just kind of investigating a particular task at hand and just kind of seeing like where exactly it can lead. I think that you know, intuition is going to be playing a nice key role. And I have to say that the heavy influence on Aquarius also heightens that. It's kind of interesting with Aquarius, as much as they're a logical sign and they like to stick, they're kind of like the scientists of the zodiac, as much as they like to stick with facts and with logic, there is a side to them that is unconventional and thinks outside the box, which to me, psychic ability and intuition is kind of outside that box. So I wouldn't be surprised with Aquarius if they also accept, you know, gut feelings or part of the intuition side of Pisces as well and helps to amplify that energy. So I definitely do see that up and coming. So with the Sun conjunct Saturn right now, what I do see is that, you know, where Pisces can definitely be like modern day witches or shamans where they feel like they have one foot in the earthly plane, one foot in the spiritual plane. I really see that this year Saturn's going to ground that energy down tremendously. So it's not like we're just kind of flying up towards the clouds or flying up towards the spiritual spaces and, you know, kind of get stuck there or get stuck in one space over another, because Pisceans can also be very dreamy as well too. They can get stuck in daydreams. They can get stuck with being in the higher spiritual realms. They can get little, you know, they don't want to come back down, you know, be grounded, or it's hard to come back down, or they just kind of get lost in their thoughts as well too. And it's kind of hard to kind of rope them back in. But with Saturn, there's going to be this nice grounded energy that's going to be surrounding us so that we're not, you know, flying into the ether or going into the ether as often and having a hard time coming back down. You know, and I think what I first think of is with working relationships, there's definitely going to be a nose to the grind when it comes to that. And definitely focusing on goals that you might have made within the since Capricorn season. And really, kind of like with Capricorn season, really making sure that the nose goes to the grind and that you're actually, I think another part with Pisces that they really kind of issue is how to manifest. And I feel like along with Taurus, they're really good at manifesting reality or manifesting dreams into reality and finding that link. I feel like the two fishes kind of represent finding the link between the physical and the spiritual. And also with manifestation, the dreams and reality, and bringing that forward. I really think that with Saturn, it's going to help us all to not only manifest, but also really, manifest through actions as opposed to just manifest through positive intentions or magic. There are some cultures that go for magic. Other cultures that go through, positive intentions, right mindset. Saturn's going to remind us that, while the right mindset, the right feelings, the Abrahamic sort of views of manifestation are going to be, I think it's Maslow and Abraham who first started manifestation. Well, that's nice and all and well. Saturn's going to remind us that nothing really occurs. It's kind of like the law of magic as well, too. You can cast a spell. You can do a bell, book, and candle. You can say a chant that rhymes and amplify the power. But again, just like with intention or the spell casting, it doesn't really result to much without action. And that's what Saturn is going to be reminding us of when it comes to work. Also, that's what Saturn's going to be reminding us of when it comes to relationships, too. It's all nice and well to have a crush on somebody. It's all nice and well to have the distant relationship and to have the thoughts in line. But, again, it's all going to be about what you do with those actions. And what you do, whether that's putting in extra hours or whether that's actually coming up to your crush and saying, hey, I actually like you, that's all going to be encompassed in this month. It's like how to make the fantasies reality. But like I said, through concrete, actionable, measurable, kind of like SMART goals, some solid, measurable, relatable, reliable sort of goals that come about come about all the way around. Also, Mercury is conjunct Neptune. So, okay, here's going to be a contradiction just even in the house of Pisces right now. And it kind of makes me laugh a little bit. Because right now we have the Sun conjunct Saturn, where it's like being actionable, being nice and organized, having a well-rounded goal in mind. And then we have Mercury conjunct Neptune, which usually indicates daydreaming. And I think the last time that I actually had this happen in my natal chart, it actually caused me to want to daydream about a particular someone and not really come down off that daydream. So what I usually like to say is, during this time, is that whenever you are in that dream space, have a pen of paper and a pen in hand, just in case there are ideas that come in, that kind of float into your space and you can kind of write them down. Now, those ideas could be anything from career related. For me, a lot of times I have to keep a paper and a pen handy for ideas for screenplay or ideas for characters in that particular screenplay and story ideas as well too in mind and just write them down. Now, when you do write them down, because we're in that nice little fantasy space and our head's kind of like in the clouds a little bit, I don't recommend just acting on them right away. The writing them down is to be able to see them later and to see when, Mercury kind of moves away from Neptune, which will be in about in a week. What I would recommend is within that week's worth of time, when your head gets a little bit more clear, then take a look at those ideas and see how they can be implemented. And, further acted upon as well. So that's something that I usually like to do during this time. And especially with Pisces, Pisces loves to daydream or just think and think and think. They like kind of like the fish swimming in very deep waters. They like to kind of pull back the layers a little bit more and go fully deep. It's either go deep or go home. And, sometimes it's hard for these individuals to kind of pull back and come back into reality. And we're kind of seeing that as well, too, whether we're daydreaming in the middle of work, or whether we're just kind of daydreaming in general, or whether we're just kind of, our heads just kind of in the clouds a little bit. I also say some fuzzy logic, like say that you're not prone to daydreaming right now. There could be some times of just kind of like a fuzzy, illogical, or just kind of fuzzy logic kind of running about. And that's also part of Neptune conjunct, Mercury in Pisces. What I just recommend when it comes to the fuzzy logic is definitely have grace on yourself during this period. I also see a lack of focus, which I've actually been experiencing a lot lately, where it's like I'll try to focus on something and sometimes that focus kind of runs dry. So what I usually recommend during this time is the emotional intelligence or the EQ recommendation. And I've kind of made this in past episodes, but really kind of block your day out in 20-minute chunks so that when you like kind of fulfill 20 minutes of one task, then maybe like you can give yourself 1 to 5 minutes of just kind of daydreaming or just kind of taking a break and giving your head a little bit of a break, and then try blocking out another 20 minutes and then another 1 to 5 minutes of a break and kind of encompass your day with that sort of a sandwich. I know when I've tried this, as much as I kind of felt like, 20 minutes was kind of the norm, every time that I blocked out 20 minutes in my schedule, especially at work, there were times where I actually exceeded the 20 minutes. I'd go for like 30 minutes and then I get like a 1 to 5 minute break, or sometimes even an hour and then a 1 to 5 minute break there. So you might find that as well. If you don't find that, that's perfectly okay. That's perfectly, definitely the route of Mercury in Pisces and also conjunct Neptune. So, again, just be patient. I would just say, just stick with those 20 minutes and just be patient with yourself. And as I said, within about a week, this too shall pass. And this transit will definitely, move on. So like I mentioned earlier, Mars and Venus are conjunct in Aquarius, where they're conjunct in Capricorn last month. And it kind of, while there was a sense of passion, met with forever. This month, it's actually passion met with being platonic or being casual. So to kind of break this down a little bit, the passion obviously is, an increase in chemistry in the relationship. You might be, if you're in a romantic relationship especially, you might hit it off with somebody. Well, when you hit it off with somebody, it's going to be measured within chemistry, like how much chemistry is actually between the two of you. And while I kind of feel a little torn about this transit, well, there are many astrologers that are like, hey, it's the epitome of love. There are others who kind of feel like, yeah, with that Mars placement in there with Venus, it's like the epitome of lust. And I kind of feel like, relationships, pardon me again, boy, I've been burping. I've been growing hoarse. I think I'm going to have to check out my third house and make sure it's not afflicted right now and, see as to things that I can do in this time, because it's kind of getting old, especially with the phlegminess in my throat. It's kind of getting old. But, with the passion, I don't really feel that romance is really just based off of passion or chemistry. I really think that there's a lot more. And I've just, my only warning is just make sure that you're kind of with the passion, just make sure to kind of realize that passion is exactly that, or chemistry is exactly that, that it's not necessarily love, or, you know, how much passion and how much you let you feel sexually inclined doesn't always determine, the best of relationships. There's other factors involved as well. But since passion is on our minds, it's met with that platonic element with Aquarius. So Aquarians like to have their independence. And I'm kind of seeing that with relationships right now. It's like they love their unique viewpoints. They like their independence. They're kind of so basically relationships are going to be judged on if you can accept someone's unique viewpoint. And also if you can kind of give them space and room. So for those of you who are like, you know, I've met you the first time, I want to get married like today. Unfortunately, this is not the best of months to kind of do that, to spring that on somebody. If you do spring that on somebody, I'm going to say this with the heavy Piscean energy and the heavy Aquarian energy, you might get some people who are leaving craters as opposed to skid marks when they run, you know, when they kind of make that excuse of, oh, I got to shampoo my hair, and they leave they kind of leave the skid marks from running. Except I'd say they'd probably leave a crater behind them. You're going to scare people off if you're kind of in that camp. And I've known guys who are like that. I've been in relationships where it's the first time meeting with somebody and this person freaks me out beyond freaking me out by being like, oh, wow, you're like the perfect mate for me. I want to marry you like today. And that's where it's like, pump the brakes. and a lot of people I think are feeling that way, you know, pump the brakes. Let's not go too fast. Let's kind of take it platonically, kind of take it slowly, at least for the most part. Because both planets are also squared Jupiter and Uranus at this point. And to have Mars squared Uranus, especially, it's like impulsive energy on top of impulsive energy. So there might be some impulses that are followed. And also, you know, with Venus squared Aquarius, there might be some areas where somebody likes to feel emboldened, they like to explore, but it's also a situation where if their interest is not up, or if the other person's interest is not up, or say like what I've been experiencing, if you're exploring the realms of communication and exploring the realms of how to relate to somebody, there might be a little bit of a wandering eye or a lot of distance if you're not doing it the right way. My example, I have a former boss. Last week he was hanging out in the lounge. I was simply getting a snack and he came up to me, came up with a dumb shirt and said that I inspired him to buy this shirt. That was just so dumb, so contrived, so stupid. I kind of wondered if he was trying to shoot me in the face with a smile, because he's prone to doing that with people. As if that wasn't enough, the next day I didn't take the bait. I kind of, you know, kept the conversation polite, left the lounge rather quickly. And then the next day, I think he was, you know, passing by my desk. I was saying hello out of curiosity. And he just basically snarled at me, actually kind of grimaced at me and said hi. So I'm kind of mentioning this now. Forms of communication, really watch what you say before you say it in this time. Because especially with that Mars energy, people are feeling more impulsive than usual. And also we're all feeling a lot more impulsive than usual. And we all want to say whatever's on our mind, kind of like with my former boss. Unfortunately, you know, with saying things that are on your mind, if you're not giving it careful thought, you know, like my former boss, it's kind of ironic. He doesn't really think before he makes a comment. And what he ends up complaining about in the end is that no one's paying attention to him because he's that typical Leo. You know, if attention is what you're seeking, maybe think about how to seek it. You know, burning bridges and insulting people is not really the way to go. Or even better, if there's an issue, if there's tension, if there's a problem, as such as what this transit can indicate, you know, find a way to discuss that with that person instead of actually going the passive aggressive route. Also, what I recommend during this time is to really be mindful of body language. Body language right now is just as powerful as actual language, especially with Mars right now, Mars and Uranus. Uranus is just giving a lot of energy to that heavy impulsive Mars energy right now. So, you know, again, with body language, that can also communicate load. So if you're somebody who you're listening to somebody, but you instinctively cross your arms, or you have a habit of crossing your arms in front of your body, or you have a habit of crossing your legs, or you have a habit of grimacing at someone, you might want to take a look at how your face is posturing. You might want to take a look in the mirror as to how these sort of attributes posture, because good chance, if you're finding that people are running away from you more than they're gravitating to you, good chance that body language is kind of off. And especially if you're grimacing while saying hi to somebody, you might want to check your face and you might want to check how that grimace makes you look. And you might want to check, you might want to think about if somebody grimaced at you, you know, how if they were to do the same thing to you, give that same sort of facial posture or that facial posture, you know, how would you feel if they were to do that? And good chance, ding, 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 it's a closed posture as what's mentioned in body language. And so it makes people kind of feel put off. And the crossed arms might make you look too close to where you don't want to hear or you don't want to listen to other people. Same with the crossed legs. You don't want to listen to that particular person. Also, if you're scowling or you have a habit of having RBF, what's usually referred to as resting bitch face, or if you have a habit of grimacing or you have a habit of scowling at somebody, you might want to take a look at that, lighten it up, and try to go for more open postures and also neutral to friendly gestures in the face, you know, in order to kind of help out when it comes to communication, but not only just communication, how you're coming across to people, because I think Venus is going to be pointing out right now with Aquarius that, you know, even our appearances are really very important when it comes to relationships and relating. And then Mars with Uranus, as I've always said, if you feel like saying something and it's really crass and it's really dumb, or it's just really not very, it's not going to be welcome, you know, pump the brakes, you know, slow down and actually take a look at how is this going to be received? You know, and if it's not going to be received very well, maybe this is not a good time to say something, you know, kind of like with my former boss, you know, about his whole remarks. Basically, it was a shirt with a cat saying not today. I don't know how this related to me. He didn't really specify. And in all honesty, I don't play guessing games very well. I don't read people's minds very well. I might be working on clairaudience and I might be working on clairvoyance, but claircognizance really lacks for me. I can't read your mind. Or actually, it's more like the area of telepathy. Telepathy really is low for me. I can't read your mind. So, but you know, I had the potential of taking that the wrong way. It's like, so what are you saying about me? And, you know, like I said, really kind of push the brakes a little bit and just say, you know, just kind of think about, you know, be a little more mindful. Will what I say potentially offend? Will what I say potentially land the wrong way? will what I say actually convey what I actually mean? Or maybe I should just kind of think about what I can actually say, or think about what I could actually, you know, actually imparting my meaning a bit clearer in this situation. I also think, again, to be mindful of your body language. You know, again, if, you know, you're kind of in closed postures and everything, or grimacing and not really realizing that, again, how can that, again, does that help to impart your message? Or does that help to detract from your message? Now, if you're just like, well, Sandra, I really don't care about that. I get to do whatever I want. Well, that's all nice and well, but don't be surprised if people maybe avoid you. Okay. And don't be surprised if people might turn around and run away from you. One thing that I've noticed with Pisces and also with Aquarius, there are two signs that really avoid drama at all costs. If you're someone who's just going to cause drama, you don't care, you think you're above everybody, you can do whatever you want, well, good luck to you. I hope that you like being a misanthrope. I hope you like your own company, because that's who you'll be stuck with. If you're somebody like my boss who craves attention and who craves being in the limelight or craves others around them, start reanalyzing. Also with actions as well too, and relationships, just make sure that again, you're not acting impulsively and without the consent of a partner, particularly when it comes to sex. Make sure that everything is consensual, and again, push back the brakes. I think, with, Uranus, especially with Mars, it's a lot of accelerating the relationship rather quickly and just, you know, pump the brakes. There's no rush. There's no hurry. You know, that you don't have a deadline. You shouldn't have a deadline. I think that that's foolish, especially when you've just met somebody, or if you've been seeing somebody, don't rush things. Maybe like, let this time be a time for contemplation in whatever big decisions that you're trying to make, whether that be marriage, moving into a new apartment, moving in together. Maybe give it some more thought. Take this month to give it some more thought, is what I would say. And then Jupiter is kind of bringing everything kind of big, kind of bold. And I think that's going to be causing people to experiment. I do have... tonight, I think it's Tanana, T-A-Y-A-N-N-A-H, Lee McKillar, her book, Astrology for Mystics. She mentions for Aries in the eighth house, that, you know, she mentions the first thing is like study the art of making love. But I mention these things because I kind of feel that that's kind of experimentation to me. So things like Tantra, the Kama Sutra, the Anangaranga, sexual kung fu, kunyaza, and then also like the return of the old man to his youth, tea of lady purity, and the golden lotus. I wouldn't be surprised, along with the esoteric, as well as the spiritual vibe with Pisces, if really experimentation such as with those types of forms kind of come into play. Within the relationship. What I'd say with Jupiter is that you might get too caught in the art of experimentation, that you might kind of border on the taboo a little bit. Again, I would say experimentation is all nice and well. Just make sure to take your time with it. And again, don't rush through it if it's experimentation in the bedroom or in your sex life. Also, there might be more inclination to experiment in the relationship as well, like what works, what doesn't. And again, you know, just don't rush it too much, and just kind of take your time when it comes to experimenting. And I think everybody should be happy in the long term. All right. So as mentioned earlier, Pluto is also in Aquarius. So I actually predicted that all things science will be at an all-time high, like cloning, AI, possibly more space travel will be at an all-time high. I also see with Pluto entering Aquarius, where we're going to be, the deeper sides of the relationship is going to be centered around, you know, actually valuing your independence, value, and also maybe contributing to humanitarian goals. I find that to be interesting because this is a political year. I think really with Pluto and Aquarius, the one thing that I've seen a boost in is instead of relying on others to be the change for you, how about you can be the change for you? And I've already been seeing actions where it's like you be the change that you want to see. I haven't just been seeing it within my neck of the woods. Actually, with Sharianna Boyle and her resident astrologer, her resident astrologer had mentioned that there were some riots, or not riots, but actually protests on the border issues. And I kind of see that as, you know, protests as being one form, you know, kind of using the First Amendment, using your right for free speech, but reusing the right to help humanity as a whole. And I'm not surprised, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's going to be more take action on the part of everybody as opposed to sitting on the sidelines and hoping that, like I said, political candidate will take care of everything that you're looking at. And again, I'm trying not to get political here. I don't advocate for one side over another. This is just kind of like a general, how everybody will become a little more involved. And not just, I don't think just politically, I wouldn't be surprised if more people also become involved with humanitarian issues. So like, you know, donating, volunteering their time, towards a really good cause that this individual really believes in, and actually finding maybe a new love in life due to this, this need to increase humanitarian needs. But I also see within relationships, maybe acts of service might start coming into play with Pluto and Aquarius. And, you know, really just kind of fitting that in as a couple or in a friendship group, you know, within relations with coworkers. If there's going to be a theme of paying it forward or giving it back, whether that's through a political cause or just whether it's through a humanitarian cause, I think there's going to be more of that as well. Now, with Pluto, there comes a whole can of worms that's actually opened up, and it kind of makes me chuckle a little bit. So with Pluto, it's actually sextiled. So all the planets that are in Pisces right now, those four planets, so the Sun, Mercury, Neptune, and Saturn, Pluto's actually touched in a sextile. Like I said, it just cracks me up. I'm just like, oh my goodness. Yeah, so it's not just one interpretation with Pluto. There's many interpretations with this aspect. This is just what makes astrology fun. I just have to say, this is what makes astrology very intriguing, very wild at times, and also just fun. The planets, they really have their own minds. It's coming up to the cosmos. So Pluto sextiled the Sun, Saturn, Mercury, and Neptune. What I see with this situation, so with Pluto sextile Neptune, kind of like with the heavy Piscean influence and Aquarian influence, increased psychic awareness as well as increased intuitive, you know, listening to the intuition, listening to the psychic process within a relationship. I think with Pluto, though, it's going to be more about diving deep into the reality of a relationship. It's going to be more using intuition to kind of, you know, really get through all the layers, get through all the guises, and really come to the truth within a relationship. I have felt this influence just recently. I do have this fear because I had a former coworker who actually stole one of a promotion from me last year. I saw her talking with my boss today. I think they just might have had polite conversation. Not sure. But the biggest fear that kind of came up for me was, oh no, am I going to be replaced like I was last year? Am I going to be trumped in my current job like I was last year? And is this person just going to take over? And I'm really, again, I don't think it was an intuitive ping. I dove deep into it a little bit. You know, while it might have felt like an intuitive ping, I'm not sure if it really was. I did analyze it, and it's like, you know, it was about this time last year that this happened. I thought this person was my friend. Turns out now she's a secret enemy. But, and works in dubious, mysterious ways. I think I had to use that Pluto influence to see if this is like, a reminder of what happened last year, and maybe the circumstance of seeing them together triggered it, or if there is some intuition and psychic, pinging going on, within that relationship. I will keep you guys posted as to how that transpires. But that's one example of how we're just kind of digging in deep with that psychic and intuitive ability of like, you know, don't bullshit me. Let's cut through the bullshit. Let's see the truth. Also with Pluto sextile the sun, I saw maybe more in-depth work with your, not only with thoughts and communication, but more in-depth soul sort of work, since the sun represents not only our ego, but also kind of represent, I kind of look at it as representing your heart center. It is ruled by Leo, or actually Leo is ruled by the sun, and Leo also rules the heart in the body. So I think that's where that's coming from. But like using Pluto to dig deep inside of ourselves, maybe doing some people, there might be some who will be, could be inspired. Okay, I'm going to try this one more time. There might be some who will be inspired by maybe things like shadow work. Others may just be inspired to just, you know, really kind of take a look at who am I really? What's really deep inside of me? How to let go, what doesn't hold anymore. I know personally I've been feeling this influence with being very interested in things like Sherrianna Boyle's process of emotional detoxing and how to really process the emotions in a healthy way, but really fully processing them. And so they're not stored up and causing little diseases as well as trauma in life. So I think something like the emotional detox program is also something that can be of an in-depth thing, endeavoring on psychic ability or intuition, like how that manifests for you, really is the truth as opposed to what isn't, what's a guise, what's a ruse, as opposed to what's really an intuitive ping or true intuitive ping. Those things I think will be ventured into this month. And I think that'll help relationships in the regard that everyone's kind of wrestling truly with themselves and not just finding it convenient to hide behind a ruse or hide behind a mask and, you know, be deceptive. I mean, I think this is a time of opening. I think where Pluto's kind of inspiring and opening up within people and how to be far more honest and more of you in the relationship as well. Then there is, so Saturn and Mercury. So Saturn, your endurance and working hard is at an all-time high, just like with the conjunction with the sun right now. So definitely this is a good time to manifest and manifest goals that you've always wanted to see. Just like I said, make sure that you're going to be willing to put in that action, that work that comes behind it, because that's really going to be the second part. It's going to be making the goal, making the manifestation, making that dream, kind of solidifying it, but then making it come true by actually doing all the work that's necessary to make that particular goal come true. And then with Mercury, more in depth of thoughts and communication, I think this is a good time to kind of like what I was mentioning with Venus, a good time to kind of take a look at, are my actions, are my behaviors, are my words really making an impact? And if not, really investigating and excavating those root issues that are preventing. You know, kind of like with my former boss, you know, he probably meant to give like a backhanded comment. A lot of guys think that backhanded comments are comments or lead to comments or lead to discussion. That's really far from the truth. So, you know, making that backhanded comment, he was probably hoping for a little bit of humor in the situation. It didn't really come across. So I think this is a good time. And he's probably noticing that with a lot of other people, his humor just sucks. It's falling flat. It's like eggs up against the wall. It's just, it stinks and it's flat. So, actually investigating like what exactly, you know, like when making a joke, how to actually make a joke. I recommend to my former boss, if he is listening, hi, Rick, how about an improv class? Seriously, like I said, if you're wanting to study humor, definitely taking an improv class is really like the best way to go, I really feel. But, you know, maybe doing something along those lines, maybe studying what makes humor humor, as opposed to what it doesn't, and really just kind of looking into that a little bit more. And I feel like that is indeed the case with Mercury sextile Pluto. And then I also just feel higher spiritual and philosophical growth, especially with Pluto, sextile Neptune. That's another inclination. And again, relationships taking a more higher spiritual sort of vibe as well. So stargazers, this is what I have for Pisces season. I do hope that this was informative as well as entertaining. And that it really helps to serve you and kind of helps to explain like what's going on out there. I know it helps me a lot too, as to what's really going on. As always, do not be afraid to look up at the stars. The moon is actually waning. We'll be facing a new moon as of Sunday of next week. But in looking up at the stars, we not only see the origins of astrology in those 12 constellations that became the 12 signs of the zodiac, but we're also just kind of taking a break, whatever life is throwing at us. And above all, stargazers, I do hope that you guys are well and find yourself well. Please stay safe within this time and between now and when I speak to you next, stargazers. Until then. If you also have questions or comments for Sandra Mizek, you can email her at Mizek, MISEK.Sandra@gmail.com. You can also follow her on Instagram at Sandra.Mizek. Again, that's MISEK. Also, for as little as $20 a month, you can become a Patreon to this podcast. Visit patreon.com/7thHouseAstrology for more details.